The recorder's on.
Great. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Franklin Township Board of Trustees special meeting. It's December 8th, 2020 at 12 p.m. I'd like to start with a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask Ralph to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to suspend any past minutes.
I will second that.
There's a motion and a second. I'll call the question and ask for a roll call.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
So I have to call this meeting to kind of get an overview of the incident with Lebanon Ford, and so that we can all just be on the same page and just have all the most up-to-date information as possible. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Administrator Potts to kind of give us a rundown, and then we can start asking some questions from there, if there are any. Mark, are you on?
Mark's on mute.
Okay, I'm off mute now. Sorry about that.
It wouldn't be a Zoom without someone being on mute.
So I was just going to say, for fiscal office, feel free to join in at any time. But recently there was an incident where a payment was made to Lebanon Ford for the purchase of cars, police cars, and it looked like there was a spoof of an email address from the individual at Lebanon Ford. That individual, fiscal office thought they were communicating with that individual, and through an ACH transfer wired over the amount of money to pay for those cars. And not too long after that, I know the police department had received a notice asking for payment. When it was investigated by the fiscal office, it was inadvertently sent to a different company based on the spoofed email of the employee at Lebanon Ford's, what it looked like. So if fiscal has anything else to add on that. So that being said, I'm going to ask if it's okay with you, Mr. Chairman and trustees. Pete Griggs, our attorney, is on the line here, and he's had some communications and some insight on this. So, Pete, if you'd like to say anything.
Sure. So the car dealership sent an email correspondence to the fiscal offices, and I believe also left a voicemail message. So Mark and Mary asked that I speak directly with the dealership. The email correspondence came from an attorney, and he actually, it turns out, he is actually the president of the car dealership as well, which is a not only Lebanon Ford, but a part of a larger conglomerate of car dealerships in Southwest Ohio. His, obviously he has an interest. They did not receive payment. As far as they are aware, that account where the money was transferred to has been closed and is gone. It was an account, I believe, based upon what he told me, a credit union in Texas. We talked a little bit about how it happened, And as of right now, they are not admitting, obviously, not admitting to any fault. They have hired a IT security firm to make a determination as to whether or not it was their system that was hacked or the township system that was hacked. Now, obviously, I know that we've got information, and it's our belief it was their system that was hacked. I'm simply telling you his version that he gave me. He, we talked a little bit about kind of the law in this area, and how potentially to move forward. The law in this area is a little unclear. Typically speaking, it's gonna be, you know, who's at fault, really, is I think the million-dollar question. And there is some recent case law that's been developing in this area, and what it, and I'm not gonna bore you with all of it, but what it really looks to is that the courts are going to have to determine which party failed to exercise, you know, reasonable care in the transfer. Did any party fail to exercise reasonable care to the hacker's success? And so obviously, you know, I think based upon the information we have right now, you know, the township's position is going to be that that's on Levitt Ford. But you know, there are cases out there that talk about, and they're very fact dependent. They talk about, you know, a history of business between a car dealership and an entity, and there's been five previous transactions, all with the same wire instructions, and on the sixth time, everything was different. You know, under that circumstance, the entity that was transferring the money probably should have known something was up. So again, it, what I'm telling you is it's very fact dependent. You know, they are going to, obviously, you know, if I were them, I would make the argument that why in the world would we send a wire transfer to Texas when they're based out of Cincinnati? I think the thing that goes in our favor is there is no history there between, you know, this is, as far as I'm aware, the first time we've transacted business with them. But, you know, and I think ultimately probably the biggest factor is whose system was hacked. And again, I believe based upon information we have, it was them. I also know there were some conversations that the fiscal office had with their staff that seemed to indicate that we weren't the only one where these fraudulent wiring instructions were sent. So, you know, obviously that helps. It does appear that the township does have cyber breach coverage, which I think would be sufficient, you know, to cover the amount of potential loss here. My conversations with Levitt Ford, they are going to turn this matter over to their insurance carrier. My advice to the township is they do the same. And that way, at the end of the day, you have the two insurance companies deciding, you know, potentially who's at fault, and letting them decide whether or not lawsuits need to be filed or who does what. So I do have a phone call in to OTARMA to let them know that this issue is on the horizon. My guess is they will more than likely probably immediately appoint insurance counsel, and those conversations can start to occur between Lebanon Ford's insurance carrier and the township's insurance carrier. So that's kind of, at least from my perspective, where we're at, from a legal perspective, where we're at. You know, kind of more of a practical issue. I do think it's important, and I think we already have, but we need to make sure that there's no security risk on our end, that our IT people are comfortable, that it wasn't a result of our systems or our lack of security. You know, I don't know, Mark, if we're doing that now, but I think that's something that needs to happen right away.
Pete, not to interrupt, Mr. Brian Shea is on the line. He is with Revolution Group. Immediately after this happened, the fiscal office had them run a check on Robin's computer. They've also already done this on Lieutenant Ratliff's computer. I don't know if they have anything to add on what they found or did not find in that those scans they did on the two computers. They're trying to schedule a time with Chief Smith to do his computer as well. So, Brian, if you have anything.
He's muted. Brian, you're muted.
Yeah, I didn't start talking yet. I was waiting till you guys were done. I'm Brian Shea. I'm the CIO of Revolution Group, and my primary focus is our managed services side of the business. Just so you guys are aware, my background is I'm the former CTO of Nationwide Children's Hospital for years, CIO and compliance officer for Riverside Radiology, very big on the healthcare compliance, highly regulated compliance space. I have not spoken to, and I'm on this meeting on behalf of Eric. Eric was unable to attend, the account manager that typically works with you guys. So hearing from Pete, you know, I think he's, you know, based on my past experience, he's, you know, he's pretty dead on how these things usually play out. The big things that I'll find out from our side on if there was anything discovered on those workstations, but typically how these things come through, either the dealer's system was compromised and they had access to either via email who they were communicating to, or at a deeper level they had access to one of their databases that had transactions that were there and then leveraged that. Typically these happen due to an email breach and some sort, either a phishing attempt that someone clicks on something and then the ball starts rolling with them looking for the opportunities. The ACH one is a common one that we have seen out there kind of in the wild in different various forms where they fake invoices, they provide different ACH information for these type of payments to occur. The cyber insurance piece, they will typically, when you get that activated, they'll start wanting to do some of their own IT discovery, and I'm assuming that they'll want to engage with Revolution Group, you know, on our side to maybe answer certain questions from a forensic type perspective. I believe from the from what I'm hearing, at least on the background, it sounds like it is probably came from that direction. Especially if there's multiple, and of course that would need to be validated, that multiple customers were impacted by the same sort of phishing attempt that occurred. Other than that, the big thing, you know, there's always going to be the follow-up of security awareness and training on your side, on making sure that people are what they're looking for and how they're looking for it, because I think Pete's right. It could go either way. Is the onus on, yes, their system may have been compromised. A lot of people's systems get compromised. A lot of phishing scams do occur. But what onus does fall onto the shoulders of your organization to have caught that, right? You know, and not to actually taking it further. So I think there's definitely some follow-up there on making sure that we're refreshing and kind of recapping on how do we make sure people, you know what they're looking for. And, you know, as we know, a lot of these look legitimate, right? So how do you do that? So I think that's something we'll want to circle back on as well. I guess are there any other particular questions that I can help answer for you guys in the media? Like I said, I'll follow up with our IT operations just to see what was discovered, if anything. Typically, if something was discovered, they would have brought that to immediate attention. So my gut tells me that they'll probably come back and say that they didn't see anything from a, you know, a virus or malware or something like that on the system, but we will validate that.
And I think the training is critical, and I don't know whether or not, I'm not an auditor, and I'm not, not an accountant, but I don't know if there are any type of standard governmental accounting principles that are typically followed when doing wire transfers. But I think at the end of the day, if there are, we need to incorporate that into any training, to make sure that we're doing everything we can. So I think the training piece is moving forward is going to be critical.
And it actually comes into play on the cyber insurance because, I mean, it's like any other insurance policy. They do look for have you been following, best practices that were outlined, in that policy. So if that policy is something that you even want us to review, we could do that on our side as well. But one thing that you would have going for you is I know that you have had some training in the past, thus this one kind of slipped through, but you could show that you do have a training program in place where you had kind of that annual training and everything like the know before training as well, that you do have ongoing education in place, and it still got through. So that would help with regards to if it gets to the point where there's some sort of insurance payout on your side.
Pete, what is the next step for us to move with OTARMA to start that process?
So I have a phone, Ari, I have a phone call in, and so once I talk to them, I'll touch base with Mark, and we'll go from there. My guess is they're probably going to want, some additional information, and I'll just work with Mark to get him that. But I would not be surprised if they don't sooner rather than later appoint insurance counsel.
So I have a question, Pete. We've already taken possession of the vehicles. Obviously, they've had the titles. When can we start using these vehicles? Because we're outfitting these vehicles. What does that whole area look like?
It's a good question. I think, so they still have the titles or do we?
I believe they still have the titles because I don't believe the titles have come to us. I don't know, Chief Smith, you're on mute, but I'd like to hear your thoughts. Chief, if I can interrupt you a second. You're sounding like Darth Frazier, Chief. I don't know if it's your computer or what, but it sounds like we're watching Star Wars. You may want to try to just... Steve, you might... Mark, you might want to send him a text and ask him to just call in because we can't understand that.
Can you hear me? This is Mary.
Yes, Mary.
We do not have the titles because titles never come until you've paid them off.
Okay. So, John, good question, and I'm not sure I have an answer for you. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, a lot of that's going to depend upon what a court says. But we have possession of them, and you know, I think the alternative is that, you know, if in worst case scenario, the township's got to pay again. I mean, they're not going to take them back. It's not none of the case law that I've seen. The product is not sent back because there's an automatic depreciation of value. So that, you know, what would probably happen, worst case scenario, is the court would order full performance of the contract, and we would have to pay again.
So we just pay double for one vehicle?
Potentially. I mean, if you're talking worst case scenario.
And that's if the insurance doesn't cover the...
That's correct.
And how likely is that?
John, I don't know. I don't know the facts.
Okay.
I mean, I know very little of the facts. I think, first of all, assuming it's true, the best thing is that their systems were hacked. So that's tilting it in your favor. But there are a lot of other things that a court's going to look at. But the fact that it was, you know, that it was their systems that were hacked is going to help tremendously.
So my question would be this, Pete. We can move forward as what we probably should do as far as getting these cruisers on the street and then work out the details later instead of holding up the car sitting. And, you know, they can't just come take the vehicles back, can they?
No, they're not going to, and they're not asking for the vehicles to be given back, number one. John, I would tell you that, yeah, I would go ahead and proceed. The only caveat to that is once Otarma appoints insurance counsel, you know, they may give different advice. But I can't see why we wouldn't proceed. Continue to proceed.
How long are we looking at, in your guesstimation, court, this, that? Can you give us a breakdown, a worst-case scenario to Otarma says, here's your money, like State Farm being a good neighbor, saying, here you go. You're taken care of in 3 weeks. Can you give us any kind of what scenario you may see for that?
Well, I think from our perspective, you know, it's no different than, you know, you get in a wreck, and who's at fault is in dispute, and you have the insurance companies arguing. That's a possibility. I mean, that could take months. I mean, if you go to court, I mean, you're talking years.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying I would think the insurance counsel's opinion would be that it's not going to be a rescission of the contract, and that, you know, we give back the product. Because the cases I've seen, that's not what happens. It's they're seeking performance, and performance is the money, because the cars have already depreciated as soon as they leave the lot.
Absolutely. So are we able to find out either through the courts or any other court cases that may be pending through discovery of how many other people this happened to? Through Levin and Ford?
Yeah, I'm sure insurance counsel is going to want to know that. Absolutely, yeah.
Because, I mean, it plays in our favor. I mean, I
absolutely
hate to happen to someone else, but if you have three other entities that this happened to, by far, should they, you know, at what point, and I'm looking at it this way, at what point when our department paid them, did they wait and go, where's our payment? When obviously the length of time that they waited to notify us obviously is a hindrance to us because we couldn't stop the transfer. if they didn't have it the next day, they should have said, okay, we don't have it. And we could have then had more time to do something diligent on our side to figure something out, maybe stop it, get a hold of Texas, and be able to retrieve that money. But lack of communication on their part, and all of a sudden going, hey, we haven't got paid. The only thing they did is send an invoice. You know, was it a week? Was it a month? Was it 2 months? You know, it seems like it would be on their part.
John, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. And again, the cases are very fact specific, and all that's going to play a factor. And certainly, if that was the fact pattern that was before a court, all that would be in favor of the township.
Sure.
So I think, you know, in terms of, you know, we should know within this week or early next week, we should have more information from OTARMA and hopefully council appointed, and we can be, all, you know, heading down the road of getting this resolved.
This is Mary. I'd just like to add a few comments. We do have I have a voicemail that was sent to me directly by the person who we were dealing with at Lebanon Port. I won't go into the details on this call, but indicating that they were hacked, not us. And secondly, I've been in contact with PNC, the bank, and reported it on the 1st as soon as we knew about it. And by the way, it was sent on November 3rd. I believe it was. And they didn't tell us until December 1st that they hadn't gotten the payment. So I checked today again with the fraud unit at the bank, and they said I asked them how long it could take to process this letter of indemnity, which is trying to recoup the funds. And they said up to 120 days.
So, Mary, we don't have to lay out any more money until we find out what the court or OTARMA is going to do. Is that correct?
Well, we can't. I don't think we can do anything like that.
No, we're not laying out any more money.
Yeah. But what I also want to add is that we can't return them because we have retrofitted them for quite a few $1,000 apiece. You know, we mostly do the inside of them and some of the outside. So they're custom. So we really, I think it's going to be up to the insurance companies. And
yeah,
at the case, we do, when Revolution Group checked Robin's email especially, they were very, very careful, spent 2.5 hours at least, and found that nothing. So we really don't feel it is on our end. And I know that they checked Ratliff and they didn't record anything. So I agree that we, since they didn't report anything, I'm assuming there wasn't anything that they found. And then Steve Smith, I don't think they're going to find anything with him, but of course we can't say that, but he had very little contact. I don't even know if he was in contact by email.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to hear from Chief Smith if he's on here where we can understand him.
Agreed.
He's muted right now. Okay, so maybe if he could call in or maybe walk across the street to where you are if he's in his office.
He's welcome to come to the fiscal office. Carefully, Maya, I've got a chair here. I just wanted to let you know we also put together some various verbal, but we will get a written policy on how to handle any of these ECHs in the future, which it starts with, which I've already been doing, is checking out a vendor ahead of time to make sure that they're real. that we're not dealing with a fraudulent company that has masked themselves. So I always do I have my process of going through and checking the original articles of organization, Better Business Bureau, checking out their addresses, actually getting photos of the addresses for Google, and just various things that I do. And Lebanon was a question for me because of who we were dealing with. And I can talk to Pete about one of the concerns I had. And there was something else that I didn't realize had happened. I was out of the loop for just what the final payment. I didn't know anything about Cincy Autos, Inc., which is a question. So that was something I did not research, but I didn't know anything about that. And that showed up at the very end.
Yes.
So anyway, so we had this process in place where I talked to my assistant about various things to look for. And I'm a realtor, so I've had lots of training on fraud and wire transfers. This is not a wire transfer. It is an ACH, but it's very similar. It just has a day delay. And there are things that we need to do as far as looking for when we see email addresses. How they can change a small L can also be a capital I. So any email address that has things in it like that that could easily be switched, we have to be careful of. Also checking for logos, receiving something that doesn't have logos and phone numbers and matching. And finally, never doing account information via email. It should be by phone or fax. And we have to know the individual to be able to use phone, and there are ways to check the phones to make sure that it's their extension. You can call the main company and so forth. But you have to be careful of that even. As we know, there's international frauds that they can also have extensions and mimic everything that you would think was normal. And also, I just want to add that when Robin was emailing right before this transaction, it was a matter of like 8 minutes from the time that she was dealing with the individual to when it was that individual's email was hacked. And then the individual who she originally was speaking to didn't know that they'd been hacked. And of course, we didn't know that they'd been hacked. So it's a very, actually pretty good in the middle of constant transactions or emails, and when it happens like that, and it's so smooth, it's very difficult to recognize. That's all I have to say.
Mr. Chairman, I need to step away 2 seconds. I got the plumbers here, and I got to move my vehicle to the driveway.
I think Ralph had a question before Mary, so
yeah.
Ralph, I'll hand it over to you.
Just a couple of statements I'm going to make. I think we're still lacking a little information here, what we need to know, and Pete is still lacking some information that he needs as well. My thought is he's had a problem with the insurance company there, and I think that's just listening to everybody. I think that's where the whole thing is going to really lie, is to the status of the insured. And also, it appears to me, I mean, we've made a purchase deal with these folks. And by the way, Pete, I think that is the same company we have dealt with in the other purchases of our newer police vehicles. So it's not a matter of we don't know who the people are, or we haven't done business with them. To me, it would just purely be this. We made a purchase agreement. We fulfilled ours. We paid them. We're not getting a darn thing out of them, and the money's gone. So if you take it, put it in that perspective, it's an awful lot of explaining that they need to do. We're nothing out of this so far. And I think we need to just probably leave it where it is, let Pete go ahead, get some more information from the insurance carriers and things like that, as well as some of this IT information we need back from Revolution Group and things of that nature. So I don't know if we're in a real position now to really make them try to do anything. You see that we are, Pete. We need some more information, don't we?
Yeah, no, and I think that's, you know, I think that because there's potential exposure there, you know, that's why I think getting the whole insurance company is the best thing that we can do. And so if Living Up Ford wants their money, they're going to have to contact our insurance carrier.
Correct. And that is a simple part of it.
Yep.
I mean, you do that. You got to get answers on that before we even know or make a move forward to decide what we are going to do. So at that point in time, I don't know what we can do other than what we're doing now. We're getting answers, correct?
Correct.
This is Mary. Okay. I just want to correct Ralph. Ralph, it was a new vendor. We've never dealt with them before. That's why I was talking about
I stand corrected, then. I appreciate that, Mary. I didn't know that.
That's all right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are they, by the way, so that brings up a question. I would imagine their problem, if they are dealing in these police automobiles and things of that nature, they have to be on some sort of national registration level to be able to deal in that specific, those are specific types of vehicles that are only manufactured by the Ford Motor Company. So they would have to have good standing and all this, you know, with Ford's. Ford, I think Ford is the only one that's really making those type of vehicles right now, or manufacturing. So there's quite a few other things I think we need to know before we know what we're going to do, to be truthful with you. But, you know, anything we can do, but well, if it comes down to a matter of us paying twice for something we don't even get, well, I guess we're going to have to do some serious talk in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, so we're not going to pay them, Ralph. I mean, either, you know, and that's why we are getting a hold of the insurance company, and that's why we have insurance. So,
okay. I'm satisfied with what I've heard right now, and I think we need to get some more information. And I don't know if anything else we can add to the conversation right now that's going to help.
This is Brian. I do have one quick question. Do we have, and I haven't talked to my, I have a follow-up with my help desk after this, but do we have copies of all of them from a forensic perspective? Do we have copies of all the email communications?
This is Mary. Yes, we do.
Okay, perfect.
And we have copies of, we have the saved voice messages.
Okay, thank you.
There was, Mr. Chairman, I'd still like to hear from Chief Smith if he's available, just if he has anything to put in on this.
I don't have a lot to put in on it, but I think what we need to do, since we can't find him.
We can hear you now, Chief.
We're here kind of tying up a lot of people from doing their jobs right here, and you didn't hear what I just said to Mr. Rick. The insurance company is the most important thing now, and he's got his call in them, and there is other things that we need to know before we know exactly how to go forward. I mean, we can't make any sort of resolution to this thing, apparently. Yeah, well, basically, unless there's something I'm missing here, we did what we were supposed to do. We made a deal by the cars, and we paid for them. And whatever they did with the money, the check or the wire transfer or whatever, they sent it off to somebody. I don't know. You know, I don't think we have any idea at this point in time. It'd be just a guess how this company in Texas got a hold of money. I don't have any clue on it, really.
But so with that,
I think Ralph, we just need to get a little more information on the insurance and things like that, and go about. out of business until we hear a little more on it.
So with that being said, I'd like to hear Chief Smith's what he has to add, since he was the one that also looked in on this.
Thanks, John. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really have anything additional. The only question that we kind of have right now is, how are we going to go about getting our titles for the cars in Lebanon? I'm assuming it'll probably be after the insurance payment or however it's kicked out. Those are kind of important just in case something would happen and a car would get wrecked or whatever. But that's kind of the only question I have at this point. It ain't Pete.
Well,
I was about
to say, Pete needs to get the information from the insurance folks before we know what to do at the moment. So that's what I was trying to point, was trying to make, okay?
And Pete, I have a question for you. Is should we just go forward with the vehicles that we have, and can we insure the vehicles that we have?
Yeah, so we're obviously contacting the right place, John, and that's our insurance carrier. So those are all questions that are on the list, and I think we already have gone forward with, you know, I believe Mary said they're being retrofitted and all that good stuff. So, again, the answer is we're not giving the cars back. I mean, I think that issue's been decided.
But in transfer of cars from place to place, is, you know, we seem to have people that like to run into us. And that's why we need more cars. People just can't understand the black and white. If that was the case, is there any liability since we physically don't have...
My guess is, and again, we'll let the insurance company tell us how to proceed on that, but my guess is they're going to still insure the cars.
Okay.
This is Mary. I have two things I'd like to bring up for discussion. And one is if there is some kind of best practices for these kinds of purchases. There are many available. I asked the bank. They don't have anything regarding fraud. So if anyone has a suggestion, IT or OTARMA, while you're talking to them, I appreciate it.
Sure.
Getting that resource. And second, emails. I brought up in, I think it was September, maybe October, regarding Gmail. When I did research on Gmail versus Microsoft 365, Gmail had a higher risk of hacking. I'm supposed to be looking into it for, we had to renew the current one because it wasn't time to switch. And I was to look into the new one, according to the trustee, I think it was a motion, to get 365. And I'm hoping that I can move that up and start looking now so that we can consider a different email vendor, as well as we would have software that is compatible to what we use and what our other system is, a UAN system, compared to Gmail, which is all cloud. That's it.
All right, is there anything else that's germane to the conversation? Hearing none, I will see if there's any questions or comments from anyone. All right, hearing none, we'll adjourn. We'll see folks again at 6:30 Thursday evening. Thanks, everyone, for hopping on today.
Thanks.
Thank you.